Okay, so this is Christian counseling class. Last time we were looking at Exodus 18 and talking about counseling and this use of the word counsel with looking at this first instance where Moses' father-in-law Jethro is giving him counsel. And so in Exodus 18:13, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself all alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and what? God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land." So, as we saw last time with Jethro, you know, whether he's truly saved or not, or whether he's just getting saved, it's hard to tell, as we saw last time. But so the supposed problem here, and let's go back up to verse 13. So Moses is judging the people from morning unto evening, and then his father-in-law came. And he's asking him, "Why are you doing this all alone?" Well, he said, "Well, the people come to me to inquire of God." Now, why do you think it got to be this type of a situation? Well, if you will look in, actually, that would be a little beyond this. But let's go there just for a moment anyway. This in chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20. And Exodus 20 and verse 19. 2019. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. So the people did not want to go directly before God. They were afraid. They wanted Moses to step in. So the point is Moses was not just trying to be a dictator saying, all right, all of you, you come before me. That wasn't the issue. Just a couple chapters later, they're saying, listen, you go before God. Just tell us what he says. That's good enough for us. So it wasn't, he was trying to be a dictator. So anyway, let's go back there to chapter 18 and let's see, find it here. Okay, so his father-in-law is concerned about him. And so in verse 19, he said, hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee what? Counsel, and God shall be with thee. So here is a man that's either, if he's been saved, remember he didn't know about these other things we talked about last time. So a spiritual man. And he's suddenly telling Moses, listen, you hearken to my voice, you hearken to my counsel, and God will be with you. So he gives him this plan. You teach him all the ordinances and laws of certain ones. And it's amazing. You look at verse 21, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. You think about all the rebellion that Israel had done against Moses, and it's like, where are you going to find all these people? Men that fear God, men of truth, men that hate covetousness, and find enough for rulers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And the next verse, let them judge the people. So what is this plan? Well, let's look at this for a moment. So if you have roughly 600,000 men, well, it's what the scripture says, 600,000 fighting men, men of war, leaving Egypt. So if you just give each of those men a wife and two children, which would be very conservative, you'd end up with 2,400,000 people leaving Egypt. 2,400,000. So about 2.5 million people. So the leaders in Jethro's plan, the leaders of thousands would add up to 2,400. The leaders of hundreds would be 24,000. The leaders of fifties would total 48,000. The leaders of tens would add up to 240,000. So, okay, Moses, I'm going to make life easy for you. All you total that up is 314,000. So I'm going to make it easy for you, Moses. You're one man, and I want you to teach 314,000 people all these things and to be leaders and then oversee them. Wow. Can you imagine trying to be over 314,000 different leaders, knowing all the times they rebelled? I mean, when the people were thirsty, was there ever 314,000 people that was on Moses' side? No, when Korah and his host rebelled against Moses, was there 314,000 standing on Moses' side? No. So God ordains in verse 16. Let's see here. In Numbers 11, let's go to Numbers 11, 14. Numbers 11, 14. So we're fast forwarding. And let me back up into verse 10 here just a moment. Numbers. Let's see how it all worked. Okay, let's look at that Numbers 11, verse 1 then. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. The anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Where are all these leaders? Where are all these 314,000? Did Jethro's plan work? I mean, that was supposed to be in effect. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Wasn't that exactly what Jethro had said, was that, Moses, it's too hard for you, so do my plan? Yeah, he told Moses, you're going to wear away. You're not going to be able to handle this alone. You need to incorporate my plan. But you know what? Moses did it, and we don't read anywhere that he inquired of God whether to. He just obeyed his father-in-law's counsel. And Moses here is feeling all alone. Verse 12, have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Verse 14, he said, I am not able to bear all this people, what? Alone, because it is too heavy for me. This tells us here that Jethro's plan did not work. He says, I am not able to bear all this people alone. Well, Jethro's plan was supposed to be so he didn't have to bear it alone. It was not working. His counsel was not right. In fact, he said in verse 15, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. So Jethro's plan did not work. It was counsel of men, not counsel of God, and it didn't work. So what does God tell him to do? Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me what? 70 men. Not 314,000. Gather 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. What is interesting in verse 17? He said, I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is what? Upon thee, and will put it what? Upon them. So Moses had the power. He said, I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, and I'm going to give it to 70 men to help you. You know what that shows us? God can give us all the power we need. If he gives us the responsibility for something, he will give the power to see it through. Notice with me in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Philippians 4, 13. I can do what? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So it's just interesting as we go back there to Numbers and in verse 17, I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them. So no more strength was needed than what he had. He was taking the Spirit that was on him, Moses, one man, and putting it on 70. There was enough strength there. That was not a problem. It's just in Moses in his flesh. Got tired of their murmuring and complaining. And so it shows us sometimes we can receive counsel that's not good counsel. That's just man's idea. In Proverbs 14, let's go there, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the key, I guess, if we could go back there to Numbers 11 again. Let's see here. And verse 16, Numbers 11, 16. So these 70 men, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them under the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. So the key here to these men would be finding these elders. And so that takes us over into the New Testament. So if we think about 2.5 million people, and God says, okay, you say you can't handle it, I gave you the strength, but if you say you're not able to do it, I'll take of the Spirit, the power that's on you, put it on 70 men for these 2.5 million people. Now let's go over to the New Testament church in Acts 2:41. Acts 2 and verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Okay, so that's 2:41. And look at verse 47. So we've got 3,000 there. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So more are being saved every day. And then Acts 4 and verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So you had 3,000, then you had people being saved daily. Now you have 5,000, so you've got 8,000 plus. Now look in 5:14. Acts 5:14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. So you've got 3,000, then you've got people being saved daily, then you've got 5,000, now you've got multitudes, so you've got 8,000 plus people that have been saved. Now, so what happens? Well, now you face problems. Acts 6, verse 1. Acts 6:1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So now you've got a huge crowd, and now you've got people complaining. Verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, how many? Seven. Verse 3. Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So you have a situation in the New Testament here where you have 8,000 plus people. You've got problems, murmuring. So what do? They pick seven men. It's interesting. The Old Testament, you have 2.5 million plus. God uses 70. Here you have 8,000 plus. They choose seven. But so what I'm trying to get you to see is that in this situation, they did not choose, you know, rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over tens. Or you would have had a number greater, much greater than seven, because you're dealing with thousands and thousands of people. So just the difference, the need is, the key is Spirit-filled. That's the key. Verse 3. Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And today, sometimes churches today have just dozens and dozens of deacons. But the early church here in Acts 6, this would have been the first deacons, these seven, when you look at what they were doing and then the qualifications for deacons. And they kind of do like Jethro recommended, you know, just have dozens and dozens of deacons. And the key issue here is you just need Spirit-filled people to help in the work. And then in verse 24, let's see, of that would be going back to, let's see here, Numbers 11. Numbers 11:24. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. You know, in our own lives, sometimes we might feel like overwhelmed, and you know, maybe you're helping someone do something and then you get a call from someone else, or whatever is going on, and maybe your parents would like you to do something, maybe somebody else asks you to do something, and maybe you have things at work that's you know, taking from you. It's very easy in life to feel overwhelmed. But we need to think of Moses and say, okay, you know what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God, if God has given me this responsibility, then he's given me the power. So I know at times in my own life when, there'll be like different requests and things happening, and you know, maybe in my schedule I was thinking, okay, now I've got to do this or that, but now I'm receiving a call to do, someone needs something done, and I'm thinking, how can I do all this? But then just the peace that's like, I can't, but God can. It's like Moses. He got to the point where he said, I can't bear this people alone. But he was using some man-made plan. It wasn't working. But God had given him the power all along to do it. And so let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in what? Everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, I've thought since this coronavirus and doing these nursing home ministries, I have been here many times, very late on Saturday nights, and many times early Sunday morning taping, but I keep thinking, I am not going to complain. I'm just thankful to have a little, be able to have a little part in ministering to these people in the nursing homes. And so I just think of all of these things that we've been talking about, and I think, I am not going to complain because I have to stay up late and, you know, tape a message or get up extra early and tape a message, because I am just so thankful there's something to do for the Lord. And that, you know, it just brings peace. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know how long it's going to last. You know, the nursing homes closed down. But I just thank the Lord for this time. A time when many churches were not able to meet, and by God's grace alone, we were able to still meet as a church. But not only that, but to still carry on the ministries that we had before. To still be able to preach. In fact, actually God expanded our ministry, because we only got to be at all three nursing homes, you know, every month or two, at Hathaway every week. But actually, during this shutdown time, we've actually had more ministry opportunities than before. So I just praise the Lord, and it just makes me think of Moses here. Sometimes, you see, sometimes people look at situations from the outside. You know, they're not actually, you know, living that life for somebody else. And so they're looking at a person saying, oh, wow, you're going to wear away, or, you know, this or that. But we need to always get our counsel from the Lord, because he may have given that person. He may have. God always gives us the power to do whatever responsibility he gives to us. He'll give us the strength. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it's just that we need to look to him, not to ourselves. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Sometimes I've heard people say, make a statement. They'll say, Jesus has given us all power. Well, Jesus said there, all power is given unto me, to him, in heaven and in earth. And then he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So you may say, well, Lord, you've got all the power. Why don't you do it? Verse 18, you've got all the power, but you're telling us to go, teach, baptize, and then teach them all things. Well, the last part of the verse, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So what do you think of that? He's got all the power. He tells us to do it, but he says he'll be with us always. So what is this telling us? We've got to depend on him. That's the issue. If he would have given us all power, then we wouldn't depend upon him. It's like if somebody said to you, I'm going to meet all of your needs the rest of your life. And so I'm going to give you $50 million. Okay, so would you go back and ask him then for anything? Oh, well, Jesse, he's going to use up that $50 million. No, but if it was actually sufficient, you wouldn't go to that person anymore. You'd just go to your own bank account because they gave you all the money. So the way Jesus did it here, he's got all the power, but we have to go to him. He'll be with us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. But it keeps us going to him. Lord, I need your help. And that's why we go back to Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So it's like, but Lord, I can't do it. He knows we can't do it. That's why we have to go to him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So this is our challenge when we're trying to counsel people, is to make sure they're not looking to us for all the answers, and to make sure we're not puffing them up with self-esteem. You know, that's the big thing today. You know, it's like, oh, somebody has a problem. The problem is they have low self-esteem. No, because that can just make a person arrogant or conceited if they just think, oh, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. No, so our goal, our challenge is, okay, this person needs help, but I don't want them to depend upon me. I want to cause them to depend upon the Lord. I don't want to send them forth thinking they can do it. I want them to realize they can't, but God can through them. So that's our challenge. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay, well, we'll close it for there today. So a challenge in counseling. In counseling, it's so easy to make the counselor puffed up or the person you're counseling puffed up. And we need to keep all the focus on the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you.